powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
This hour of Bump and Stacy brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Let's get back to Mariners here. Plenty to talk about after a season series win over the Yankees in a pivotally important stretch of schedule coming up here. Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, it's Ryan Roland Smith. Ryan, how's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. What about you guys? All good?
We're great. I mean, really, really exciting to see this series win against the Yankees at home this time. And Ryan, obviously Wednesday was an important game, but I cannot get over Tuesday. We were talking about it for hours after the fact. Where does that rank? I mean, as a pitcher, where does that rank as some of the best games you've seen?
Yeah, it went from being, you know, kind of frustrated because you got Luis Castillo just like, I can't even, out of this world stuff. And just some of the swings against him, I was frustrated because I was like, man, put up a couple runs. Let's go. Like, come on, something. Because you just don't want to waste that start. So all of a sudden, it goes to extra innings. You have ghost runners involved. And then you just have this, everyone stepping up, so to speak. So I think it was up there. But I've got to say, I can't overlook yesterday either. Mm. The fact that they got down, the fact that it's the rubber match of the series at home. They get down, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, look, you're playing the Yankees. You get down late like this, it's going to be tough. And not just, you know, not just by a run, but a couple of runs. Aaron Judge hit that home run. You're like, oh, nail in the coffin feeling, and it was deflating. And then all of a sudden, Carlos Santana goes home run. See you later. And it's just, man, I think, look, Saturday was good. I think Sunday was even better, to be honest with you guys.
Ryan, when I watch receivers perform and put up just stupid numbers, I get giddy. Like, I'm excited. And no one really in my household understands what I'm looking at. What are you like when you see pitchers on both ends? You talk about Gerrit Cole, you talk about Castillo, yeah. Even Robbie Ray had his moments. What is it like as a pitcher when you see pitchers performing at such a high level?
Well, I'll be honest with you, sometimes, you know, if it's a guy who's, you know, throwing 88 to 92 and they're battling their way through making big pitches, I can relate. So I'm looking at that going, oh, yeah, wow, like, how awesome was that? I love watching that. But then you watch Luis Castillo, and there is a hint of jealousy, too. I'm like, man, could you imagine how fun, yeah, exactly, how fun baseball would be if you had, you know, that repertoire, that arsenal, that just disgusting changeup, and then that 98 at the top of the strike zone from that arm slot. You look at that, and you're just like, man, that's just unfair. Obviously, Gerrit Cole on the other side of it, too, and, you know, I love watching him pitch because of, you know, just different things he does so at an elite level mechanically. And then yesterday, I want to go back to last Friday. I got a chance to call the game when Robbie Ray was pitching. He's coming off three, and he's, you know, look, he's someone, obviously, we've watched him all year, so the ups and downs, and he had that six-game stretch, and then he struggled for three games, and then comes out against the Angels. Now, I know it's not the Houston Astros, but regardless, they're big league hitters. He comes out against the Angels, and just dominates. Best stuff I've seen all year long. And then in the post game, this is what I love. In the post game interview, he says, look, I struggled for a couple games. So I was like, I'm just going to throw as hard as I can. I'm just going to attack. And here it is, hit it mentality. As opposed to, and we've seen this before with guys with electric stuff, where they try and search for answers. So, and look, I love these two seam fastball and all the rest of it. But when he's in that mindset, like, you know what, I'm struggling. I'm sick of messing around here. Here it is, hit it. That mentality, it's awesome. And then he doubles it up against the Yankees, who are way tougher lineup than obviously the Angels. To watch that yesterday, and then obviously Luis Castillo the night before, man, it's fun to watch. Don't get me wrong, it's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, man, there is that hint of envy floating around in the back of my head for sure.
What do you make of the move of Flex into the bullpen?
You know, it's one of these things that you look at and it's funny when you listen to you know, some of the front office talk about it, and they say, oh, you know, hey, it's what's best for the team, and I'm sure Flex will have that narrative too. But I guarantee you that conversation inside Scott Service's office and with Pete Woodworth and the conversations after that, it wouldn't have been that cordial, put it that way. Chris Flexen is a competitive dude. Now, I get it. You want to be in a situation here if you're the Seattle Mariners where you have that abundance of talent and performance that guys like Chris Flexen do get pushed to the bullpen. You can't just cruise and all of a sudden expect to be in a rotation. That's what you want. And the other thing, too, that will make Chris Flexen, whether it's 2023 back in the rotation or whatever, it's just going to help him out. That's something he feeds off. So I think that you look at him and another candidate was Marco Gonzalez, I'm sure. When you look at the move to the bullpen, I think Chris Flexen's more suited for the bullpen. I think when you look at Marco's stuff, I think Marco's stuff-wise, he's more suited as a starting pitcher as opposed to someone coming in for a couple of innings and to get swing and miss and everything else. It was a tough move. I feel for Chris Flexen. I really do. I get it. It's the right thing for the team because they definitely want George Kirby being a factor, even though he has limitations. I get that. Logan Gilbert is Logan Gilbert. He's doing really well, even though he's had a couple bumps in the roads more of lately. Obviously, Luis Castillo, Robbie Ray. So I get all that. But I guarantee you that would have been a tough conversation for Chris Flexen to have yesterday.
Ryan, we've seen Haggerty just ball out as of late, batting .323, .423 in the month of August. He's played right field, center field, second base, whatever you need from Haggerty. He has done it yet. He's still batting in the eighth spot. Would you move him up even though guys are getting healthy, or would you keep him in that spot and depend on him later?
Yeah, it's a good question. I haven't even thought of that because same argument with Chris Flexen. Look, we've watched this team for since 2018 and even before that, where guys do what Sam Haggerty have done lately, and it's kind of like this, not by default, but this sort of, oh, hey, you're doing really well. Let's put you up in the five hole or the two hole or whatever. But again, and I said this in spring training. If you get to a situation where, say, a JP Crawford, who is one of your mainstays, one of your everyday players, I'm putting Sam Haggerty in this conversation in 1 second. If you get to a point where JP Crawford is pushed to that 7-8-9 part of the lineup, and for Sam Haggerty, that he's doing what he's doing, but he can't even sniff anywhere higher, we are in a good spot. We have enough depth. We are a team that can compete in October. That's a good sign. So when I look at that and say, should we move him up? He could earn his way into a six or a two potentially if someone has to take a day off, if Ty's out or two guys in a row are out at the same time, whether it's a Haniger and a Ty have to have a day off at the same time. He could sneak up there. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about from the way you want this lineup to look, you want him hitting well over 300 and doing what he's doing right now and having that speed element, but still be at the bottom of the lineup. That's a great sign for this offense.
This is a very related question, but earlier in the show, Ryan, we were talking about things we've learned about the Mariners this season, and it evolved into a conversation about what makes them a playoff team and what would make them a World Series team. So I'll throw you the same question. What makes the Mariners a playoff team right now, and what would make them a World Series team?
Well, I'm going to get the boring answer here. Pitching and matchups. Now, when I say that, look, put it this way. Everyone, cried, including myself, and pouted because they didn't get a bat at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll put you – here's the situation. It was really competitive at the trade deadline. You saw on Saturday night the New York Yankees get blanked. Now, I know they're facing Luis Castillo. And then yesterday they went blanked for, what's right there. When you look at that, That's going to structure the bullpen just right so they can get to that 6, 7, 8, 9 in the bullpen and be in a good spot. You don't have to get any deeper than that in the bullpen. That's how they're going to. That's going to be their identity to go deep in the playoffs. And if you're if you're old enough to remember 2001, and we all do, even if you're 2 years old, you remember 2001 around here because it was such a memorable year, 116 wins. The trade deadline, they said, oh hey, look, they said we need more pitching. And the front office is like, no, we're good. We're good with what we've got. This is great. We're having a blast. We're selling every game out. We're in 116 games. What happened when they went to the playoffs? They just didn't match up against some of these teams when you're facing a Roger Clemens, a Mike Mussina, guys like that. What they have now, though, is completely different. So I think when you're looking at them as a playoff team, that's basically their foundation.
Ryan, this team is getting healthy. We're going to see Julio and some other guys back. But, Mitch Haniger's been back in. He's been performing. How important is he going to be down the stretch of this season?
Yeah, I mean, massive. And look, a lot of people, were questioning why it took so long. And this whole thing about Mitch will, you heard Scott saying Mitch will decide when he's ready. But how important will he be to answer that question? Put it this way. When he comes out day one of coming off the IL and he's playing right field. That tells you everything you need to know. And what I mean by that, if he comes off the IL and they're like, oh, you know, we're going to, you know, give him a soft landing, he's going to DH, he's going to rest a bunch. But the fact that he's in right field means that he has all the athleticism underneath him. He's not hobbling out there to have that bat. He's still got the power, but he can't run or he can't round a base or whatever. And Bump, as you know, when it, regardless of anything you do, if you feel 100% in every other avenue of the game, the things you do really well, those good at bats and have and add that power and that 39 home runs we saw a couple last year, it just helps that out. If you go into this half cut and you're all of a sudden, you know, I'm still feeling a bit of swelling or you know, irritation with my ankle or whatever it may be, doesn't matter. You can still crush a ball in the cage or hit a ball hard or face 98. It's just not the same. So I think seeing that, you know, straight off right off the bat, no pun intended, with Mitch Haniger coming in playing right field right away, is huge. And I think that again, when we saw it that Nestor Cortez, he knocked him out of the game the other day. Just having that in the lineup, man, it just lengthens it. We talk about this all the time. Push guys deeper, push guys out of the middle that don't belong in the middle of the lineup if you're talking about a playoff team, and that's exactly what he does.
What have you made of Service this season? I didn't get to it earlier. We had some cuts from Jerry Dipoto, who was talking about Service's role when it comes to one-run wins. And I don't know what role a manager plays from the point of view of not just an analyst but a former player. How much does a manager...
the year, and you've got to look your manager in the eye and you've got to communicate, and all of a sudden you get a day off when you didn't want a day off, or you're hitting fifth when you want to be hitting third, or whatever it may be. It creates this strain. It creates these conversations during batting practice when your group's not hitting and you're trying to sound off to some of your buddies about your opinions. When you're a manager, you have to control all those big personalities inside the clubhouse. This year, even better than last year. Last year, remember at the trade deadline, Kendall Graveman, they traded him away. And they were able to get through that as a group and get over it and get on and win 90-plus. This year, I think it's even better. Now, that's aspect number one. I think there's even more of a good relationship and chemistry there from the coaching staff and the players. I think his coaching staff, look, Perry Hill, Pete Woodworth, Tony Arnrich, they have an amazing, amazing rapport with their players. Manager's a little bit different. Now, on the flip side, on the other aspect here I was getting to is bullpen management. The Mariners do an amazing job. They don't have their setup guy closer. They have their situation where, when do I have to bring in the highest leverage situation in what arm, what matchup? So you have about three or four different things floating around in front of you, and you have to make a decision right away. You have to make a decision not just to bring someone in, when to get someone loose. And go back a couple of years ago, like pre-COVID 2019, there's a couple questionable, why is someone not getting loose right now? Someone's getting, you know, going a little bit too long. This year, I haven't seen that at all. Like, I looked up yesterday and, you know, I said, is anyone getting loose? And Penn Murphy was ready to roll. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's these decisions that I think he has a really good feel for his players, and the bullpen management, not so much stealing bases, hitting runs. That's a thing of the past, I think, when it comes to managing a game in game. But from the bullpen standpoint, I think he's done an excellent job, even better than last year. And again, you can't win this many one-run games. I said that at the end of 2021. Your manager will win you one-run games, and that's exactly what he's done, you know, via the bullpen, via some of the matchups later in the game.
He is Ryan Roland-Smith, joins us every single Thursday at 11. Ryan, thanks so much.
Of course, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right. Let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Bump, part of the game is lost. So how can the stars in the NFL revive it?
The part of the game that's lost is punt return and kick return game. Now, they switched the rules up in the kick return to where you're not going to get too many of those. But it's the punt return game. And how can you revive it? You got to get your dudes, your stars, your up-and-comers to really take a hold of this. Like, I would love to see Tyreek Hill return a punt, Deebo Samuels, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith. Like back in the day, I remember growing up watching Deion Sanders do a Desmond Howard, a Dante Hall, Trey Brown, Devin Hester. Like these guys were contributors on offense and contributed in the game. I'm not saying you go out there and they get, what, 6 returns a game. But, man, give those guys 2 or 3. You want to affect field position, and you cannot do that for the most part in the kick return game, at least not as often. Put them back there on punt returns and see what they can do. And I guarantee you some of these guys want to do it. All these guys have done returns in either high school or in college and are capable of doing it. That's what I want to see. I was a returner myself. That's how I made the Hawks, returning the football. And there were guys on our roster who were probably better at it, but they didn't want to risk injury. I understand that. I understand the concern. But if you really want to affect the game, you want a big play, you put one of your best guys back there on return and let them do their thing.
All right, second down. Sure sounds like Tua won't play in the preseason opener. Is that the right move by Miami?
Man, at first I saw this and I'm like, that's not the right move. You want to see Tua with Tyreek Hill, with Waddle, with Gesicki, with all those guys. But then I'm hearing that they've had some joint practices. So going off of what they've seen in the joint practices, they're okay with it. But I still think he should play. I still think he needs those live reps. I still think he needs to prove it in a game time situation. Even though you have had these joint practices, nobody's hitting them. No one's going after them. They're not sending exotic pressures like they're going to do on a Saturday or whenever they play. So I understand him being comfortable with Tua, saying he's our guy. I think Teddy Bridgewater's backing him up over there. Tua's going to be the guy going forward. But just like Aaron Rodgers said, one series isn't going to do anything for him. One series can do a lot for Tua. Two series can do a lot for Tua. I think he should play, but I understand Mike McDaniel's thinking behind this. He's eventually going to play in the preseason, just not week one, it sounded like. I think he should be out there for a couple series, though.
Now, this isn't my favorite quote of the day. The best quote of the day will be coming up next in the timeline from Ravens safety Tony Jefferson. But it's my second favorite quote of the day. And that was Tyreek Hill being asked, you know, hey, what do you think about Tua not playing in the preseason? He said, hey, that's above my pay grade. Pause. probably not. $30 million a year. I think you can say what you want,
yeah,
Tyreek.
He's good.
Third down. All right. What was the best part of the Seahawks offense in practice yesterday?
We talked about it earlier, but it was the performance of the quarterbacks, and not just Geno Smith. Geno did a great job. He connected with Lockett and DK for touchdowns. So did Drew Locke. He connected with Lockett, I believe, twice, or DK once for a touchdown. It looked smooth. It looked on time. They were throwing into space. Even Jacob Eason hit Kate Johnson on the deep football. We're standing next to each other when that happened.
Yeah.
Number 88.
I had to apologize because I made fun of Cade for having a tight end. I mean, receivers have 80s, but it still looks weird.
Yeah. But all quarterbacks made plays. And a week ago, all quarterbacks were not making plays. From the number 3 to the number 1 and in between, it just wasn't happening. So the best that I saw, especially in the red zone, they would get down there in the red zone sessions, and it looked really bad. I don't think we saw any touchdowns, a couple practices. So the fact that they're loosening up, they're finding their open man, they are putting points on the fake scoreboard over there at Virginia Mason Athletic Center, it's fun to see. It keeps me optimistic about this quarterback position. It's not going to be like Russell Wilson, but they are getting better, and that's all you can ask for right now.
All right, fourth down. What is the defense doing schematically that has you excited?
Man, I saw this defense yesterday, and they had 2 safeties out there, and Jamal was not one of them. They had a nickel out there, and Jamal was not one of them. He was in the box with the linebackers. I don't know if this is their dime package or are they just playing him at linebacker, and they were letting him get after the quarterback. Man, I loved it. It just lets me know they understand. Maybe we didn't use Jamal correctly last year. We are going to mix it up. We're not going to put him at safety. Let's put him in the box and see what he can do. So them being aggressive with Jamal Adams gets me extremely excited because I think they have enough depth at the DB position to do things like that. So being creative and finding ways to let Jamal be himself has me really excited.
How have they typically rushed Jamal when he has been part of a blitz? Is it just, hey, you're the other safety, but you're dropping down into the box?
Yep, they go one high look, and they'll walk him down to the edge and let him get after it, which is fine. I think they still can do that. But the more versatile you can get with allowing him to put pressure on the quarterback, it's going to allow you to be just more dynamic. Like, you're getting pressure with Jamal Adams and still having a too high safety look. Man, it's going to take care of the deep passes, but then allow him to blitz. So now, say you don't blitz him. Say you keep him at that second level. He drops hook to curl or curl to flat. Now you're really messing with that quarterback. Like, all right, what is Jamal doing this time? I love it.
The second that we were in practice and you said, it looks like they have Jamal at linebacker.
Yeah.
I was like, I already know that if you mention this during the show tomorrow, there will be many texts coming in from people saying, this is what I've been saying, and it's already happening. Craig in the 425 saying, I've been saying for months to play Jamal at outside linebacker in a 3-4. Glad they finally listened to me. Craig, thankfully, Pete Carroll was tuning in specifically to our Mac and Jack's text line to wait and see, like, what does Craig think? But Craig, I'm with you, man. I've been thinking, like, well, no, he's just not a linebacker, and clearly they don't feel that that's what they want to do, but Bump, why haven't they been doing this sooner?
I think it's philosophy, and I think you have new coaches with new ideas and a new way to see the game and understand what their personnel can do. No knock on Ken Norton. This guy had some good years in several places, but this is what happens when you get new ideas in and you have a head coach who's willing to listen to him. So big ups to that coaching staff over there. I think the way that they're mixing Jamal into the blitz game is beautiful.
All right. Someone said, what's up with this Walmart version of the studio on the live stream? The audacity. I'm looking at the camera when I say that. The audacity.
We're working with what we got here.
Look,
people.
We're having some renovations done to the main studio and control room. So we're in, this is our backup studio where we'd normally be to record the podcast. If you're watching on the stream, seattlesports.com/video or on the app. This is normally where people record podcasts. Actually, now you're getting a peek into a room. It was the old studio, but one you probably haven't seen in a long time. And it's where Brock and Salk record their podcast. It's where I come in here and take phone calls and make it look like I'm working so I can use this room for a phone call, but not really. And now we're doing a live show. I have to remind myself we are live, in fact. All right, coming up in the timeline, I mentioned that Tyreek Hill's joke about all that money he's making was my second favorite quote of the day. Let me tell you about my favorite quote of the day. That's next.
This is The Timeline
with Bump and Stacey,
brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
All right, well, I mentioned that the second best quote of the day was Tyreek Hill saying, oh, deciding whether or not Tua is going to play in a preseason game is above my pay grade. Pausing. And then a $30 million per year wide receiver said on second thought, probably not.
Yeah, let him know.
It's a great joke. It's a great joke. My favorite quote of the day, my favorite moment of the day actually belongs to Ravens safety Tony Jefferson, who leads off the timeline. The timeline, by the way, on Bump and Stacey, reading you the top stories you're going to see on your own timeline. So if you saw Tony Jefferson trending, here's why. He may have unlocked a new skill prior to the 2022 season. Sight. He tweeted, I can't even lie. I stopped wearing my glasses years ago, and that might have been the dumbest thing I've done. I can see so much clearer and further with my glasses. It's wild. Best quote of the day. Best. Honestly, like, you want to talk about guys tapping into another level. Tony Jefferson deciding he's going to choose to see this year, that changes the Ravens defense.
It's a different game when you can see. I can relate because I'm supposed to wear glasses myself. And I don't wear them.
Bump.
And the reason why I stopped wearing them, because when I was with the BC Lions, they gave me contacts. So okay. I put the contacts in, and I'm running a route, and the contact moves in my eye, and I'm blinking hard, and I drop the football. I'm like, up,
so
I'm done. I'm done with the contacts. And I continued on with without contacts. But then after I was done playing, one of my buddies has glasses. And I put them on. I'm like, this is what everything looks like? Oh, my God.
It's life in HD.
I should probably
4K.
Do this. So I understand. But then, you know, I got a gray beard. I don't want to throw glasses on that look like I'm 40. You know, I'm fighting 40. So I feel them.
All of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute. That's what my beard looks like? wait, what? It's like seeing yourself in a video.
You're my
like,
wife.
That's what my hair looks like? That's what I sound like? I had this same conversation. Curtis and I were talking about it earlier, and I was like, a good friend of mine needs glasses, refuses to wear them, but recently got them. But she just thinks that, like, up until then, she thought that things like seeing a freeway sign were like, who can really see that? You have to wait until you're right under it. Like, no one can see that. And it's like, no, most people can. But everyone knows the person who needs glasses who's like, who can actually read that? Everyone. It's a street sign.
Everybody.
You should be able to.
There have been some pretty good tweets about Tony Jefferson. One is from this guy, at Tyler IM. He says, I have to know what the final straw was. Tony Jefferson eating an onion like a Granny Smith apple and said, now, wait a minute.
All right. Next up in the timeline, Bears kicker Cairo Santos. Trending. Why? Well, yet again, the Bears looking bad in this one. He practiced this offseason on poorly maintained fields intentionally to simulate the bad turf at Soldier Field. It went from being everyone hates Candlestick Park to everyone hates Soldier Field.
Hey, that's family business, though. FedEx. You can't be going out there talking about the house like that. This be, you know, like you got a doorknob missing. You don't go tell everybody, hey, I got a doorknob missing at my house. So, you know, watch out for that.
I left food on the counter to simulate. Yeah.
We never vacuum.
I mean, I get it. That's great preparation, but you keep that to yourself, man. You got some explaining to do when he gets into the facility.
Bump. Now, Willa is Curtis's daughter, though. She's not really talking yet. She can say words.
She can say a few words.
She can say a few words. She doesn't say any to me, which I think is rude, but that's why she's not part of this conversation. Bump, your kids are older. Have they ever been in a place, this might have been when they were younger, where they said something and you were like, do not put
our
business out
there.
Yeah, where they didn't realize because they were kids. So it's like you're at the grocery store and they say something like, I don't even know, like, this is why our house smells bad or something where you're like, shut up.
No, they haven't, thankfully, or I don't remember it, but I do. I treat my kids like my mom treated me. Like before we go into the store and they're little, hey, don't touch nothing, don't ask for nothing, don't say nothing, right? We go to other places. This is family business. You don't put that out there. So not with me. I bet my wife has more stories though because she is the primary driver, feeder. Like she's the glue. She holds it down. So I'm gonna ask her though. I'll have a story
like,
for
my
you.
My auntie doesn't talk to our family anymore.
I know.
We don't need that out there.
Yeah, I think
we don't need that out there.
Someone said everyone hates Levi Stadium. No, before the renovations is when it was really, really bad.
Yeah,
before
you had guys sliding
Stadium.
All over the place.
Yes.
Feet were sinking into the ground. FedEx Field in DC is another bad one.
It Levi Stadium is like slightly better with the renovations, but still pretty bad. But
I mean, compared to what it was, I guess it's slightly better. I don't know if it's amazing.
Yeah. Someone said, who wouldn't wear glasses? That's stupid and vain. I think people who don't wear glasses don't know they need glasses. You're like, bump. You're like, wait a minute. Everyone sees like this?
Like, I feel good. I've never been in an accident. I can catch a football,
There's
a baseball.
What's wrong with me?
Like, I'm all right. And if it's vain, so be it.
All right. Next up in the timeline, both the St. Louis Cardinals and the name Chandler Redman are trending. Why? Well, if you thought hitting for the cycle was cool, and it is, don't get me wrong, I'm going to argue this is even cooler. St. Louis Cardinals prospect Chandler Redman hit for the home run cycle on Wednesday.
Beg pardon?
He hit a solo home run, a two-run home run, a three-run home run, and a grand slam. Oh, one more thing. He did it in four consecutive innings.
I didn't even know that was a thing. A home run grand slam. Is that a thing?
I don't know if it's ever been accomplished before, and yet he did it. Shout out to him. Would you even continue playing?
No,
after
I'm retired.
That?
No, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done now. Bump, what's the coolest thing you've ever done in your career?
Coolest thing
it
I've
could
ever
be
done?
College, pros, I mean, even high school, just a moment where you were like, man, this is amazing.
It was kind of so against UCLA my junior year, our punter got hurt. So then our coach goes into the locker room and is like, who can kick? Like, bump, you played soccer growing up, right?
I punted in high school.
Yeah, so I punted against UCLA, and then I caught a punt against UCLA, and then they did a little split screen showing me catching my own punt. I guess
nice.
that was pretty
wow.
cool.
That's actually really cool. Yeah. That's actually really cool. Curtis, how about you and your athletic career?
Oh, you know, I set, no joke, I set the Lake Youngs Elementary hot spot shooting competition record at the time.
Nice.
Where you have the different point totals on the basketball floor.
Nice.
I think I got like 56
minutes. I like that.
No
nice.
Big deal.
Yeah.
No big
nice.
Deal.
Yeah. What about you, Stace?
Stacey. You got 10th place, right?
I did get a thank you, Curtis.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
the one I was going to say.
Oh.
Appreciate that, bud. I did get a 10th place ribbon. But to be fair, one of the 9 people who were faster than me mm-hmm. went on to the Junior Olympics.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
not the actual Olympics, but
the know. Junior. Okay. Uh-huh. But once again, Curtis.
That counts, Curtis.
Oh, okay.
That counts.
Oh, okay. My bad.
It's the Olympics for
juniors.
For juniors. It still counts, okay? But no, I was going to say second place in a spelling bee probably felt better than the 10th place ribbon. Look, I've had so many amazing
You've won
feats.
So much in your
I've
career.
I've won so much that it's like, is it the 10th mm-hmm. place ribbon? Is it second place in the spelling? I don't even know. I don't even know anymore. All right. So here's what we're going to do here. We've got Justin Coleman joining us in a half hour. So I want to have a little bit of a fun segment. Oh, my gosh. Wait. Oh, can I? You know what?
After the break.
Okay, after the break, I got a story about Dusty Baker I completely forgot to get to, but this actually works. This is perfect because coming up next, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to file everything under this year's pleasant surprises. What is this year's pleasant surprise? We are obviously starting off with one Mariners player getting a lot of love and probably deserves a bit more, but we've got more on this list. So this year's pleasant surprises coming up next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
We're taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. The Mariners are off today, but they'll return tomorrow with a series against the Rangers. Also, I have good news. Until then, you can still have a two-hour baseball show tonight. It's Extra Innings, hosted by Curtis Rogers. It starts at 7 p.m. right here on Seattle Sports Station. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company. Curtis, are you proud of yourself for not...
not interrupting you?
Yeah.
Or
I was going to do it.
I saw Buck pointed like, yeah, let's go, Curtis.
We're going to have a fun time tonight, especially after the Yankee series. I mean, God, yeah. There were a couple of classic comeback. Well, there's the comeback yesterday and then the crazy game on Tuesday. So
you're gonna
lots
have,
to talk
you got about. Some interviews?
Levi Weaver of The Athletic. Okay. He's joining me talking Rangers because that's who the Mariners
are. Nice series
coming
preview
up.
Coming up
Surprise
here.
Guest, Brandon Gustafson of SeattleSports.com.
That's one of my favorite.
Yeah,
this week's special guest.
Yeah,
it's the first
time he's ever
thing.
Appeared on Extra Innings
yeah,
this week.
Yeah.
He's appeared on Extra Innings many
times
before,
yeah.
Or in other weeks, but this week it's his first appearance.
Nice.
Thank you.
All right. So before we get to Justin Coleman, Seahawks cornerback, who joins us to talk about his second stint in Seattle, I wanted to talk about some of this year's pleasant surprises. Today felt like a weird day of reflection. Maybe it's because the Mariners are off. We started by looking at what the Mariners have proven this year, what they still got to do if they want to get to a World Series. And now I almost want to look back at just this year's pleasant surprises. So I'm going to start with the Mariners' point of view, because one of the pleasant surprises this year, how about Sam Haggerty? Bump, you've been pointing to him a ton, saying, put this guy higher in the lineup. He's got your best average.
Yeah, but then Ryan, we spoke to Ryan, and he goes, look, man, if we can keep him there and still have some bats in front of him, that's a good thing. So now I'm like, all right, well.
Fine, Ryan.
I guess. We'll listen to the expert, okay? That makes sense. But yeah, it's been fun to watch Haggerty and his development. And there's one thing I always feel when Haggerty is either at the plate or fielding is that he's confident. Like, he feels like he belongs there. He's not a guy who's second guessing himself. And I love that. One of the faster dudes on the team as well. So you know that when the ball is in play, man, he's going to try to stretch a single into a double and make things happen. He's versatile. Right field, center field. I believe played some infield as well. Like, whatever you need, Haggerty has got you.
All right. So what's your pleasant surprise of 2022 so far? 206-421-3776, the Mac and Jack's text line. First up, filed under this year's pleasant surprises, Sam Haggerty. I mean, again, we were joking about the Yankees intentionally walking him twice, and then his subsequent, not at bat, I don't think, but in the following game, he then hit a home run. So is it a joke after all, or is Sam Haggerty the last one laughing? I think Sam is the one that gets the last laugh there. Next up in pleasant surprises, I've got cornerback Tariq Woolen, and Bump, I think I might be speaking too soon. But hearing the way that coaches have talked about him, we spoke with Tariq Woolen. Man, he's just a likable guy.
Yeah.
A listener texted this in, but they said it doesn't sound like the moment's too big for him. And after they said that, I agreed. I was like, you're right. That is kind of the vibe you get from him. I mean, this is a guy who in his redshirt sophomore year at UTSA transitioned from wide receiver to cornerback, never having played defense before. Then COVID hits, so he has to work with a guy, a former defensive back, who was then like a FedEx driver, work one-on-one, and has enough athleticism to make up for the lack of experience. But so far, Bump, sometimes it looks like the lack of experience isn't actually that noticeable.
And sometimes being young and not having experience is a plus. Not all the time. It's a plus for him because he's taken in all of his coaching. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times when you've played a position for a long time, you've been developed by guys that you trust, you get put in a situation and someone might say something that contradicts everything that you've learned. So now you're like, man, forget that. I'm just going to keep doing what I do and slowly work towards what they want. But with Tariq, it sounds like he's just taking in all of the information and he's willing to learn. And you add that with all the athleticism that he brings to the table. Yep. I mean, you got to be excited. Richard Sherman was a receiver in college to make the switch over to DB. Not putting that pressure on my guy, but just saying that we have seen this happen before. So I am excited. He had an interception at the mock game. He's been running with the ones with Sidney and Artie Burns being out at practice. So
you'll see him a lot on Saturday, I'm sure, too, against the Steelers and Mitch Trubisky, former MVP. Speaking of pleasant surprises, the 206, tell me what you guys think of this one. 2022's pleasant surprise. The bullpen remained elite after last season. I thought it would take a significant step back.
Yeah, I'm with that because I mean, the bullpen held it down last year and they're doing exactly that too. Now they're getting more help from the starting rotation. But again, you got pitching, you have a chance. And that's exactly what we've been seeing this year.
I have a fun one here. It was one that I was going to get to in the timeline. Dusty Baker was in COVID protocol this past Sunday. And we have recently learned that Dusty Baker, in classic Dusty Baker fashion, couldn't figure out how to watch the game because it was on a streaming service called Peacock. So instead, he watched a Bob Marley documentary on Netflix and just followed it on his phone, which, like, anyone with, like, if your parents, you're trying to get them, like, show them whenever a game is on Apple TV, like, there's a running joke about, like, who's going to figure this out when.
Well, there's also an afternoon show on this station, too.
There may or may not be an afternoon show that is the subject of that joke. We love them very much, so we're not going to put it out there. But it really is one of those things where it's like, there's just some people where you're like, you know what? I don't even want to learn that technology. I'm good.
I imagine Dusty sitting on his lazy boy, trying to figure it out for 2 or 3 minutes, and this man, forget it. Forget it. I'm done with this.
Netflix, I know how to do. I'll do that. From the 509, pleasant surprise. The Mariners are actually being mentioned, kind of, in East Coast sports media. Still classic East Coast bias.
Oh?
From the 509. From the 206, a pleasant surprise. We made Yankees fans cry. No better gift. I agree. There's no better gift than that.
Well, especially because they... Well, I don't know if they've all traveled from far off places because a lot of them are bandwagon. You see a lot of new jerseys, Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. You know, they still got the sticker on the hat. You know, it's like you can't say that they traveled from New York. But hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for giving us your money and see ya.
How about this one? Yeah. Another pleasant surprise from the 206. Jesse Winker can basically beat up the whole Angels team at once. He was swinging.
There's some hooks.
Yeah, there were. Jesse Winker could fight. My last pleasant surprise. Can I give a TV show shout out? I just watched Keep Reading on Netflix, and it's really good. So, in the vein of Dusty Baker watching a Netflix show,
Dusty more shows as he's in COVID protocol.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to request more. You're going to give him more shows.
I'm going to suggest that Dusty Baker check out Keep Breathing. I enjoyed it.
Like, hey, your Netflix works. So yeah.
Pleasant surprise. Another pleasant surprise from Adam in the 425, Tucker. Yeah, sure. That's a good way to wrap it up, in fact. all right. It's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Justin Coleman joins us next. Don't go anywhere.